At that time, it was cold, and it was 16th of December, and I mean, it was Saturday evening, and I was cold and winterly in Norway at that time. We have approximately 30,000 inhabitants in my small town called Porsgrunn, 150 kilometers south of Oslo. It's a community place. Schools, cities, football teams, friends, all that kind of stuff. So this was a nice community to grow up in, actually. In Norway, you know, at that time, in the early 70s, we had only one channel, and we had English football every Saturday.
It's only 3 short years ago that Manchester United came here as the first team to play at Selhurst Park in the First Division. And I remember a lot of people in South London were saying, they were almost like men from another world, and here we are 3 years later, Palace 5, Manchester United 0.
My name is Torbjørn, I'm Norwegian, and I'm responsible for the Norwegian Crystal Palace supporters. I was born in 1960, so I was 12 years when I really get into the love for Crystal Palace, actually. So the only one in my community, no, the only one, and people laughing a little bit. I did not know that much about the history at that time. What I know is that it was 1905. Norway was an independent country in 1905. My hometown, my small club, Porsche it called, was also born in 1905. So it was a lot of things happening in 1905. So this was one thing. But and also the name Crystal Palace for a Norwegian was also fantastic. I was the only Crystal Palace supporter in that region, I think I know. But also some small boys, look at their television all around in Norway. So we are, some coming from Oslo, some coming from far north, sitting at the watch at the same match, because the starting point was this 5-0 against Man U.
When we first went to secondary school and the older lads coming up to you and asking you what team you supported, I didn't really know anything about football in those days. And all the other lads were saying, you know, the bigger teams in London, Spurs, Arsenal, Chelsea. My mate said Crystal Palace, and all the other lads started laughing. I wonder why they started laughing. And that's how it began, really. In those days, I was 12 years old, used to go to games on my own, all the way from Hayes, Bromley area. Bit of a loner. No, I used to go and stand on the home sale like most people do, all the way to the ground at 12 years old. Jeans, scarf, looped around the belt loop on the jeans, shirt and jacket, I suppose. I wasn't into getting the team shirts and that in those days, in the early 70s. I did persuade my parents to buy me what is called the Don Rogers shirt for Christmas, I think. My name's Howard Jenkins. I started supporting Palace in 1969. When you get the fixtures and things, you can look on there who you want to go and see and everything. Obviously, the United game stuck out for me, but all of a sudden brought into that mix was my sister's engagement party. Surprise! Mum and Dad weren't into football. They couldn't understand what it was all about, really. And they thought, obviously, the engagement was more important. And I was threatened not to go to the game. And I said, well, the party's not going to be till sort of 7:30. I'll be back home by sort of 6. You're not. You've got to have haircuts and get dressed and ready. I said, yeah, but no, it wasn't happening. So that was that. But yeah, so that was the one game in history that I wasn't at, really. And obviously in those days, there was no media, so I had to rely on grandstand. So my mood just got worse and worse as each score came through. You can imagine my reaction when I realised they'd beaten Man United 5-0. My sister and her husband will be celebrating their 50th anniversary in February, so that's one good thing to come out of the story anyway.
I was born in Bangalore at the age of 8. I was sent away to boarding school, this exclusive school on top of a mountain. It was originally built for children of the British Raj of the military. We were taught rifle shooting. We were proper little soldiers, cocooned, only going home a total of 6 weeks in the year. And that was my childhood. The original box brownie camera, my mother gave me when she saw me off on the ship in Bombay Harbour to come to start a new life in England. And I'd just come out of boarding school. And she said to me, when you get settled in England, would you take this camera and send me photographs of Buckingham Palace? Because she was a great admirer of the royal family. And I ended up at Crystal Palace instead of Buckingham Palace. I married and I had the children. They would all play in the back garden and they were kicking the ball around playing football. And I spent so much time photographing them. So my husband bought me the Rolleiflex. It's been nibbled by mice since. And this is the camera that I had when I went to Crystal Palace for the first time. And then I was asked by Martin, you know, what would you like for your birthday? And he said, I want to go to the palace. And I said, why do you want to go to the palace? You can't be sure the Queen's going to be there. And he goes, not that palace, silly. It's the name of a football club. Being married to somebody who was just football off every midweek, weekends, football, football. Left me with the children. So I thought, well, I don't like football. But I never realised when I eventually had to go to the match what a magical world it was. It was like a new world had opened up to me. It was just people and families and colour and joy, the smell of hot dogs, the people selling scarves and souvenirs. It was like I'd gone into this magical world I didn't even know existed. And I watched all this action going on the pitch. And it was so beautiful. It was like ballet. And my eyes were clicking at some time when the goalkeeper went up to pick up the ball and he's surrounded by it and he just rose above it. And in my head, I was going click, click, click. It was beautiful. But in that magical moment, you click and then you've got it there. You've got here, the goalkeeper flying through the air. I got the number of the club and I kept ringing them. I said, I want to speak to somebody. I want to sit close to the action. And they said, what's your name? I said, hi, Money. There was a pause. So I went knocking on the door and I went there and this receptionist, can I help you? And I said, I want to know how I could sit closer to the action so that people don't get in my way. And so she picks up the phone. I could still see it. She goes, you know that woman with a funny name who keeps phoning? She's here in person. And then she put the phone down and she goes, he said, send her up. And I went upstairs and there was Bert Head. I didn't know who he was, but he was the manager. He was sitting on the top step, eating a bowl of soup. So I said, oh, can I take your photo? Click. I've still got the photograph. Then he gets up and he said, so are you a photographer? I said, I like taking a photograph. Are you press? I said, no. Who do you work for? I said, I don't work for anyone. And I said, but I really, really want to get close to the action. And he must have been in a funny mood because he pressed a buzzer and this guy comes in and he says, for God's sake, give this woman a pass and get rid of her. I said, thank you, thank you. And so he gave me the pass.
Well, you don't often see a lady photographer, but she's got close affiliations with Crystal Palace, so she's also one of the happy ones this afternoon.
I knew Bert very well. He signed me for Swindon. He was the one who signed me from school. I was still as frightened of him when I went to Crystal Palace as I was when I came to Swindon. It was a little bit different to Swindon to Palace as well, quite a bit different. I found them very similar clubs, very friendly. You got to know a lot of people and all that, but obviously Palace was a lot bigger. The crowds were 40,000 people there, I think. Oh, it was a lot bigger.
Hello, I'm Don Rogers and I played for Crystal Palace in the famous game against Manchester United in 1972.
We used to go down to Weymouth in Devon to do our training under one big tent. I was there for a fortnight. Could you imagine 40-odd men in a tent? It was just good. I was really good, actually. It was super, really. I mean, I was only 15, 16, 17 then. So I was on Jankers most of the time, getting the food ready for the pros and all that sort of stuff. Got fond memories of that.
We
never really see Bert till half an hour before the kickoff. All the work was done by George Petcher. He'd done the coaching, he'd done the tactics, how we were going to play. Bert was more of a manager at the top, and he tended to deal with a lot of more managerial stuff that the coach would never deal with. It worked for us. My name is John Jackson. I played over 300 and odd games for Crystal Palace in goal, and it was a very enjoyable time. In the period we got promotion, it was a period where you were run stupid and you were in on Sunday if you didn't play well. That happened a few times, I know that. Little Bobby Kellar turned up one Sunday with his little kiddie, and we're all out there, and Bobby's got his little kiddie. What the hell's the kid doing here? He said, my missus told me I've got to look after him, because she's looked after him every day of the week, 6 days this week, and I haven't seen the kiddie, so I've got to have him for the day. So I had to bring him in, and just threw his hands up in the air and walked off.
I remember the game very well, and first of all, I remember that John Jackson had a brilliant save very early on. John Jackson was a fantastic goalkeeper, and Palace has been fortunate with a lot of good goalkeepers also later on, so it was fantastic.
And McDougall has gone sprinting in there, and Blythe will have to go with him, and Taylor in trouble, and Moore, and a great save by John Jackson.
When I played, all my thoughts about playing was about doing well and trying to keep a clean sheet every week. You know, it would never happen all through the season, but I had a damn good go at making every time I played that's what would happen. From what I can remember, it just seemed to be one way. That was us going forward.
I remember very well that we took over, and Paddy Mulligan scored the 2 goals before the break, so this was fabulous.
Don Rogers. Oh, nicely inside the full-back for Mulligan. Here's a chance, and a goal! Scored by Mulligan, but made beautifully by Don Rogers. It was the pass by Rogers that made it. 1-0 to Crystal Palace.
Don Rogers was great also in the first half.
By Bobby Bell, now the chase is on. Rogers going faster than any of them. Oh, played inside for Mulligan. Don Rogers, just as the first one was.
We have bought color TV. Color TV has come very late to Norway. I think it was one of the latest in Europe. It was come in 72, so this was colored and saw in full color at the first time, and I think also it was fully packed at Sellers Park. I think it was approximately 40,000, which is not allowed to have today, of course.
Well, there are the Palace supporters at the happy end of the ground.
The match was fantastic, and also Don Rogers scored the third goal, or his first goal, very into the second half, and then I could really relax.
I can remember all of it. You ask me, I can tell you. I definitely remember the 2 goals I scored, I know that. Well, the first one was running on the through ball from Alan Whittle from the halfway line.
Whittle. Rogers, and he's onside, Don Rogers.
Caught the ball up, the keeper came out.
Kicks it one side now.
I pushed it one side to the goalkeeper, ran down the other side, and knocked it in the back of the net.
In a way doing a Pele, turning it one side of Stepney, running the other, and then finding the net to put Crystal Palace 3-0 ahead.
Looks really good when you see it. I still like seeing it now.
Then I think we just move on a wave towards a great big grand.
United simply don't know which day it is.
And the other one, I just got a through ball from Mel Blythe.
Blythe coming in for Palace. And this has been their greatest afternoon.
Ran towards the box.
And there's Rogers. Will this be 5?
Beat the goalkeeper.
It's going to be 5.
and side-footed past the defender on the line. Two goals I'm very proud of.
Rodgers second, and a beautiful goal it was.
5-0 against Manu was fantastic, really. So,
I honestly think that's probably my best ever game for 90 minutes, I think. I didn't do too much wrong that day. Remember after the game, we used to go into the club, off the club court. And there was a bottle of champagne on the bar. Never forgotten that. Somebody bought us a bottle of champagne, and I thought, that's very nice. It's a good start to the evening, is this? To go across the road to the supporters club after that. Used to mix with them. That's essential, I think you should always do that. For the supporters, what makes the club, I mean. The Alan Whittle and myself went in. We was like joined in the head. We were wherever he went, I went, and wherever I went, he went. two years we had of that, we were very close, yeah. I was his bodyguard. But he could flare up quite quick. You know, his temperament the way he was. He's a lovely lad, I mean, I loved him. Super, super fella.
Never drink in my family, so I never really got into that side of football. That was never me, you know. I wasn't interested in the drinking those terms. I got married young as well, and I was living down here. I moved house from when I first moved down here. I'd come back in the coach on the way back, get off at Victoria to catch a train down here. Oh, well, I went at home. I had a wife and kids to look after. It's my responsibility to look after them and earn as much as I could, the best way I could. And there's only one goalkeeper. You know, it was quite restricted, the amount of money you earned. It was obviously a little bit more than what the average Joe earned in the street, but it wasn't a huge difference like it is today. We wondered how we was going to afford £38 a month for a mortgage. As it was in those days.
They said, you've got to go to the press room, and I showed my card. Went up to the press, it was full of men. And they said, hello, 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 look what's just walked in. And I was not expecting to be treated so badly. They would say, what you got in your bag, darling? Brought your knitting with you, brought your crochet. And I'm thinking, why are they so rude? And then one of them walked up and he knocked me over. And he said, sorry, sir, never noticed you standing there. And I thought, why are you always being so nasty? I had no idea. I was so, would you say naive or innocent or childlike in my enthusiasm and my joy of being, knowing that I could just go and sit there. Years later, I was at the Wimbledon, and the first woman photographer there as well. The press saw me, they said, look who's turned up. And I walked into the press room, and there was the gang, the Fleet Street mob, as I call them. And they were playing cards because it was raining. And I walked into the press room, I was so nervous, my first time at Wimbledon. They said, if she as much as sets foot in the centre court, we'll stage a mass walkout. So do you know what, I couldn't stake it, I just went. I left the press room, I was shaking. And then as I'm walking by, I looked up amongst all the ivy, and there was a window. and there was Sue Barker looking out of the window. And I pointed my camera at her and she just smiled and waved at me. And I got my one picture and I drove to Fleet Street and it was in the Evening Standard. Was all that lot of playing cards rubbishing me. But I did, years and years and years, did Wimbledon. They couldn't stop me. They signed a petition, 40 of them signed a petition to stop my entry into the union. I said, but I've qualified in every way. I've got the letter still. They said, you are taking men's work away from them. So I had to employ a solicitor, which cost me a lot of money, to say, look, fight my case. And they eventually said, well done, you're the first female sports photographer to be accepted in the NUJ.
It was two stars for me at that very time. It was Paddy Mulligan and Don Rogers, and I remember I'm drawing them by putting a foot paper over the picture of both of them and then drawing a kind of pencil dashing over the picture. So I got some kind of drawings of those two. And my parents passed away some years ago, and I found the drawings in my that parents have saved. So that was really flashback. I wrote to the club more or less afterwards. I think I wrote that I say I'm a Norwegian 12-year-old boy, Palace fan. Do you have any things that I could have from the club? Or just a 12-year-old Norwegian trying to send, put some words in English to a paper and send it to Crystal Palace. But I got a pin, which I have saved for these 50 years. And every time I go back to Celles, I have this on my jacket, a very, very nice pin with the perfect colors of the shirts from that time. So this is something I wear with proud and passion. If I'm in the London city centre, where we always talk football with the taxi drivers, and they are very, very surprised when I say that I'm a Crystal Palace supporter. I've been there for 50 years, and one more or less drove off the road. I remember I'm one of the taxi drivers. He was really shocked when I said that I was Palace supporter for that many, many years. I love Crystal Palace, deep love for it. It has been and the match against Man U was, that was the internal impression on me, the final, that was brilliant.
That is the final whistle, the end of perhaps the greatest afternoon in Crystal Palace's history. Beating soundly Manchester United 5-0, two by Paddy Mulligan, two by Don Rogers, and one by Alan Whittle in his first game. The crowd is pouring on the field. And for once, I suppose, even the groundsman, Lynn Chatterton, is happy to see them come on an afternoon like this.
We get all the glory. Because I thought that was my job. My job was to score goals. So, yeah, it doesn't matter what I did. That's what the team did. That's what matters. If I'm feeling a bit down, I'm on my own. I sometimes put, there's 9 minutes on YouTube if I can find it. I watch that. 9 minutes of it. Makes me feel good, that.